That which we could not grasp. Written by Kortu. Read by SBL. Fandom, The Untamed. Rating, General Audiences. Summary. 5 times Lan Xicheng took care of his brother, and 1 time his brother took care of him. One. His brother would not stop visiting their mother's empty rooms, and Lan Xicheng does not know what to do. He knows where his brother is going because he makes no secret of it. At the same time every month, he merely stands up in whatever room he is in and walks out the door and through the wooden paths. He will kneel there and not speak all day. His brother had always been a little quiet, avoiding loud noises and large groups of people. Now, he makes barely any sound at all. Even when Lan Xicheng tried to go to their uncle to help, all their uncle had managed to get out of him was one question.
It is not prohibited, is it?
His brother's voice was so small, he wouldn't look up at either of them. His brother could not see their uncle's face, but Lan Xicheng could, and he did not like what he saw. Their uncle did not know what to do. If that was the case, did that mean there was no answer? Could that be, or were there too many possible answers, making it difficult to choose? What if it were not just a matter of study and contemplation, but that the world would always present dilemmas he did not have the time to come up with the solutions for? He will be sick later one day, and there will be many more people to oversee than his brother. How was he meant to lead everyone if he could not even fix this? After all, he could not fully answer why their mother had left. Only that he had noticed something different in her, in the way she looked at them, like she had limited time to know their faces. Perhaps he did not actually notice, he cannot prove it, but he likes to tell himself that he did. That he lifted his brother out towards her first, so that he would have enough time to remember her better.
Brother, it's high hour,
Lan Xicheng tells him as it gets dark.
Time to rest.
This, at least, always works. He leads his brother back to his bed and puts him to sleep. In another month, they will have to do this again, unless he can think of something else to try. Lan Xicheng does not sleep well. He is officially in mourning, but when does he have time to mourn? Usually, it comes on him, and unaccounted, for moments, passing quickly. He remembers his mother like a missed step, every time. He will think of something to tell her next month, remember, and then keep going. He's not sure what else he can do. His father will not come out of seclusion. His uncle is primarily concerned with spiritual matters. There is only him left. He has to make choices about how much he can watch over his brother and how much he can prepare himself for when his uncle steps aside to give him responsibility. He is worried he will fail either way. In the morning, he is studying and so does not react at first when his brother pauses at practicing calligraphy. Quietly, his brother stands and approaches his side of the table. When he looks up, his brother is showing an ink stain on the sleeve of his robe.
I was careless, he says without inflection. What is the punishment?
Lan Xicheng thinks this is probably how the other sects imagine the Gusu Lan sect treat children, but it is not correct. He puts down his brush and holds out a hand to examine the sleeve. He does not want his brother to think he doesn't take him seriously. Still, it is not a particularly big stain.
It was a mistake, he says finally. We can fix it later. There is no punishment.
He goes back to his writing.
No.
Lan Xichen looks up, surprised at the intensity in his brother's voice. He's still staring at him with the sleeve held out.
Careless is careless. What is the punishment?
A ton, he tries, concerned.
He did not need to. Then I will see Uncle.
His brother decides and turns to leave.
Wait,
he says. This is more life than he's seen in his brother in months. He does not know what it means, but he doesn't want him to leave. He reaches out to take his brother by the shoulder, and his brother startles, throwing his arm back.
Don't!
His brother is young still, and not strong, but the force of his rejection after being placid so long unbalances Lan Xichen enough his arm knocks into his inkstone, spilling over his work. When his brother turns, there are echoes of anger and shock on his face, and now seeing the mess, he looks like he might cry. Everything has happened so quickly, and Lan Xichen is still frozen, hand covered in ink. He watches his brother sink to the ground.
I was careless,
he says. He is crying now, and Lan Xichen does not know if this is what he wanted after all. For his brother to feel something and let it out. He cries and cries like he doesn't know how to stop once he started and he will not accept comfort. Lan Xichen tries to reach a hand out to him again, slower this time, and his brother flinches his face away. Lan Xichen sits with him. He doesn't have a better answer. Maybe this will be the thing that frees his brother from whatever deep well he's falling into. Maybe it won't. He wishes his mother were here. Two. His brother will be 13 soon, and he still visits the Jingshu once a month. He is old enough to go by himself.
It is his choice.
Lan Xichen can think on this in his heart, but his body and mind must remain in the Hanshu. He is sect leader, and he will not be like his father. He must concern himself with the overall condition of everyone he is responsible for. The Gusu Lan sect has had several upheavals in the last decade that have left it on unsteady ground. He wants to believe that Gusu Lan sect techniques and knowledge are still genuinely respected, but the more he tries to improve relations with other sects, he sees it is not always respect they are espousing for him. He is something of a curiosity, he realizes. The conversation is often led back to the reality of the 3,000 rules, as if he is carrying the wall of discipline on display with him everywhere he goes. Outside of cloud recesses, he has never attempted to make others follow the prohibitions on his sect, but people will look at him as though he has. The position this puts him in is not one he finds easy to navigate. In private, he knows himself to have interpreted some of the prohibitions differently than others in his sect might. He does not think this undermines his core devotion to his duties. In public, however, he must be seen as one thing or the other. If he keeps strict adherence to every rule, he is stiff and unreasonable, not worth talking to. If he shows himself willing to compromise, he is inconstant. Not worth trusting. It is never a matter of making one decision. He must consider each choice in a line of all the choices made before him and all the choices he will have to make later. What will he give up? What will he keep? Who will he become? What does his sect need of him? He begins to spend less time in the library, unsure the answers he is looking for are even there. There are, at least, some faces he enjoys seeing as he spends more time traveling to improve sect relations.
Nie Mingzhe is not exactly friendly or overly polite, as Nanxichen understands these things, but he will judge a person fairly and act accordingly. When they first met, he invited Nanxichen to toast and then quickly remembered himself.
You Guzulans don't drink, correct? Never mind, there is tea.
Nanxichen has never forgotten this. One fewer impossible choice he had to make in the world. Their correspondence has been intermittent over the years, but whenever they see each other, it is as if they are picking up a conversation that never truly ends. He enjoys a new perspective on life that does not require him to think of how it will affect his whole sect.
I do not think my brother will ever pick up the blade,
Nie Mingzhe tells him. It is not for the first time. Nanxichen has inferred that cultivating the blade among the Jinghe Nie sect had a particular set of difficult responsibilities, concentrated on the clan leader. He does not wish to pry into personal traditions Nie Mingzhe does not wish to speak of, and so he merely nods, with a concerned understanding of his own.
I don't think my brother will ever put his down.
His brother does not have a duplicitous bone in his body, and so, when it is pointed out to Nanxichen that he has been making himself scarce among the initiates of his age, at any point his presence is not required, it is not difficult to find him. He is in the back hills, practicing forms. When he notices Nanxichen, he stops and bows, waiting to be addressed or dismissed without offering any explanations. The initiates are expected to practice for most of the day, and his extra exertions have left his hair sweaty and clinging to his face. He pushes it back absentmindedly, and Nanxichen does not tell him that his forehead ribbon is now askew. It will not kill him to look a little more his age. The trick to getting his brother to answer a question is that it must be direct, simple enough to be answered concisely, but not too simple that he doesn't think it's worth addressing and, most importantly, not a question he has decided he does not want to answer for his own reasons. These rules apply only to questions Nanxichen himself asks. He expects that others may find other restrictions blocking their path, but he has not actually seen his brother talk to any of the other initiates. That is part of the reason he has come. And so, he tries.
Why are you continuing practice here?
He does not point out that everyone else has finished because that is clear enough, and his brother finds acknowledgement of the obvious to be tedious. If he were less interested in the answer, he might occasionally use this against his brother, just to prove that he can still look like a child. Annoyed enough, it shows through the distance he keeps between himself and the world.
I was not finished,
his brother says. Every year, his face settles more under his control, but Nanxichen raised him and would like to believe he will always be able to read him. His brother did not want to finish practicing because then he might be expected to join the other initiates in something more complicated, like conversation. This is much as Nanxichen had expected. The only time he tried more actively to get his brother to join the initiates of his age had been several years ago and completely disastrous. His brother had looked up at him once, as if hoping he would change his mind, and then steeled himself to walk over and stand at the edge of a group of them. He stayed there resolute, not saying anything and not looking over his shoulder towards Nanxichen, as if he were weathering a storm. He could not see his brother's face, but he had not missed the way that the fist he held at his back was tight enough to whiten his knuckles. He could picture his expression well enough, and it was not surprising the other initiates gave him a wide berth. He has been wondering what will happen with his brother when he becomes a true disciple, and his worries are only multiplying. Traditionally, this is the time an initiate will leave the home they grew up in and join the other disciples in the dormitories. He will like his brother to broaden his interaction with the world, but he knows it cannot be forced. If he sends him to the dormitories, his brother would never complain. He would keep himself quiet and miserable in place until he was expected to go somewhere else. On the other hand, if he keeps his brother in the henshoe, it would state that he still believes he is a child. His brother would not allow himself to be protected in this way, even if Lan Xichen seriously considered trying it. Instead, he has been thinking of a third option.
"Come with me,"
he says, and begins to walk. The problem with the ritual that his brother has set himself, keeping vigil at the Jingshu, is that there is no way for it to end itself in isolation. His brother will keep going all his life, he is sure, because to stop would be to be inconstant at a task he set himself. He has no doubt that faced with the political choices he has had to make, his brother would refuse to bend even an inch. He does not want his brother to be more like him. He cannot see his brother appreciating the humor in his solution to being expected to drink alcohol, whereas he can still smile at the look of bewilderment on Nieminjue's face when he had invited him to toast. This is what he would have for his brother, that he could convince him to share himself a little more, learn the value of one new perspective. Until then, he expects his brother will remain determined to isolate himself. The only thing he can do from the outside is offer his brother a refuge, a place for him to live unobserved, between one impossible standard he sets for himself and the next. His brother has made it clear where he wants to be. They arrive at the Jingshu, and he opens the door. Three. As a disciple, his brother begins to offer help in the same direct way he does everything else. When Lan Xichen spends more and more time in the henshu with her uncle, trying to decide how they will handle a new set of audacities from the Jishen Wen sect, his brother appears at his side.
"I would like to know what my brother needs to accomplish today,"
he asks. He tends to speak overly formally when he has been thinking too long about what he wants to say. Lan Xichen had told him that he could assist in sect business once he was old enough. He had not even waited a day past that point. He listens carefully to the list that Lan Xichen gives, an edited one that does not mention any concerns for war. His brother cannot do anything about them.
"I am suited for the final three."
His brother waits patiently to see if he will be given this task or any other. Lan Xichen does not ask how he will do this and the other work required of him. If he is barred from helping here, he will find something else to overfill his time with. And there is so much work to do. Lan Xichen nods permission.
"Wang Ji,"
he stops his brother when he would leave right away.
"I am not letting you go alone."
His brother does not object, exactly, just looks as though he has been caught out. Lan Xichen does not say,
"You have never been on a hunt and you have barely led cloud races before. The world will be different than what you have come to expect."
Instead, he points out the reasonable.
"You do not know the way."
His brother submits to going with other, older inner disciples as guides. Lan Xichen returns to his maps and reports, clear evidence the world is changing. The first several years that he was sect leader had been difficult and uncertain, but at least he could tell himself that things outside of cloud races were generally at peace. It is true there has been no outright aggression. Still, peace can hide a wide variety of circumstances. The borders of the five major sects have never been completely stable, but there has been something of a generally accepted rate of expansion. As it becomes more and more clear that the Jishen and Wen sect are finished following the generally accepted way of doing things, Lan Xichen knows Gu Su Lan sect is an obvious target. Of the five sects, they in particular have never been quick to grow, more interested in the careful cultivation of their existing responsibilities. It is easy to underestimate the reserved and the quiet. After all, to be removed from the world is, historically, to be considered too aloof to require assistance. He has not worked this hard at creating allies that he will let his sect be bullied so easily. He writes near Mingzhe and finds the Jinghe Nia sect are also being buffeted on all sides by raids, tiny testing bites of power. Neither have many resources to spare for the other, but their words and support. He keeps these close on difficult mornings, when he feels the Jin Shen Wen sect at his back most strongly. It is mainly fear and whispers the first year. They grow louder the next, and louder. The Jin Shen Wen sect is leaning over his shoulder now, and telling him what to expect. One can be underestimated and still not powerful enough to stand against such endless hunger for destruction. The Gusu Lan sect can only grow so fast. His brother, meanwhile, has grown significantly in experience and reputation. The older disciples he travels with look to him with awe. It is not quite leadership, but Lan Xichen has at least convinced him to explain himself enough on missions that they can follow along. His brother does everything asked of him and finds more to do. He excels in his studies, martial, and mental. He stays present in all of this, but Lan Xichen can see he is deeply bored. He has exhausted everything put in front of him and would like a new challenge. Lan Xichen finds it exasperatingly, funnily amusing. He is glad his brother can still have such problems. Some things do not change.
Brother.
Lan Xichen looks up to see that even after giving his report about the cultivator he found, his brother has something else to say. He frowns slightly in one corner of his mouth first, like he is fighting the instinct.
Disciples from the Yunmeng Jiang sect have lost their invitation. This one asks if it would be unwise for sect relations to leave them outside until morning.
Having said it, his brother stares at a point over his shoulder, as if he would like to look as though he does not care one way or another. Perhaps that would work if his brother had ever extended himself before in the interest of sect relations. Or if he had not spoken so formally. Or, most importantly, if he were not suggesting, indirectly or not, that one of the 3,000 principles be bent. Lan Xichen is very interested to meet these disciples from the Yunmeng Jiang sect. He does not have to wait long. Over the years, he has seen his brother expertly use his awareness of space to move through the world, avoiding physical contact with any of it. And so, it comes as something of a surprise several hours later to watch his brother bodily drag some new disciple into the Hanshu and throw him on the ground. Again, he tries to look to the distance, but it is even less effective this time. He is clearly furious.
Ah, Wangji,
he thinks.
You're awake.
This should be interesting. Young Master Wei is fairly disruptive. Anyone used to cloud recesses would doubtless notice this first. But he is also quick and clearly used to figuring things out for himself rather than waiting to be told what to do and think. If one wishes to track how he goes from topic to topic, one must watch very closely or miss quite a lot. His brother certainly seems to think so. There is also the matter of the fact that Lan Xichen did not need to see the fight they had to know it was a draw. He recognizes that look on his brother's face from when he had kept pushing Lan Xichen to spar him. Quietly, always respectfully, but with full determination that he wanted to keep trying until he could win. Eventually, their duels were too long drawn out and still without a clear winner. Lan Xichen had other pressing sect business to deal with, and so had to decline continuing the practice. And now, to think, someone else could exist in the world so well practiced that he could not be beaten and so unlike who his brother would have expected. What fresh indignities his brother must face that he cannot simply fight his own reflection. Throughout the months of lectures, Lan Xichen lives in two worlds. He keeps his politics and plans and concerns in one, and his brother in the other. He knows that his brother is the same age he was when he was expected to prepare for second leadership, but, and perhaps it is selfish of him, he does not want cultivation to be all his brother has. His brother is not second leader, and this, whatever it is with young Master Wei, is harmless. Once he has finished being young, he cannot go back, and his brother has spent very little of his youth being young. Nian Mingzhe writes more than before, and he has no reservations about asking after his brother often. Lan Xichen can tell him that Nian Huaisang is in good spirits, making friends and mostly staying awake during lectures. Nian Mingzhe also asks if his brother keeps his blade with him, but not nearly as often. This is what it means to be the older one, and want the way to be easier for the ones that come next. Meanwhile, his brother stalks around Cloud Recesses as if he is being put through an impossible trial. He had wanted a challenge. Well, now he has one. It is exceedingly obvious to anyone who would learn how to look that he does not like it. Not, of course, that he does not like young Master Wei. He knows his brother, and he can tell that if he could will himself anything in the world, it would be the ability to throw young Master Wei to the ground in the Henshu again and demand that he is not fit to be in Cloud Recesses, that it is a mistake for him to be here and the Yingmeng Jian sect should send someone more suitable. But his brother will not lie. His brother does not believe there is someone more suitable. His brother does not want young Master Wei to leave Cloud Recesses. He just does not know what to do with that information. When his brother comes to the Henshu with that particular look on his face, Lan Xichen has no doubt that his brother has come to speak to him about being assigned to find relevant herbs in the back hills for the binding of spirits with young Master Wei. All disciples from outside sects are to be accompanied by a Gusu Lan sect disciple for this task, one expected to know better how to distinguish what they are looking for and what might be poisonous or inflammatory. His brother will not object directly, as that is below his discipline. Attempting to stare a different outcome out of the wall above Lan Xichen's head is not, apparently, below his discipline, but he is too late. It has been decided.
Uncle thinks you are the only one who can exert better influence on him,
Lan Xichen says. Their uncle had certainly started to think this after Lan Xichen pointed it out to him. His brother does not sigh exactly, but his eyes narrow. As he knows his brother also knows him.
Wangji, is there a reason you do not want to go into the back hills with young Master Wei? If so, please advise me on a better partner for him among our disciples, and I will consider it.
Just because it can be very easy to trap his brother sometimes does not mean Lan Xichen does not enjoy it. Not only will his brother not give any reason he does not want to accompany young Master Wei, he does not expect his brother can name any of the disciples in his own year to submit as a different partner for young Master Wei, let alone a better one. Lan Xichen has told his brother many times he should pay more attention to his peer group to know them better. Well, here they are. His brother lives in what he probably considers a dignified manner. Lan Xichen will not expose his brother quite so directly as to mention to young Master Wei, clearly so determined to get more words from his brother, that if his brother truly found him unworthy of attention, he merely would not speak at all. He has seen his brother truly set in dislike of another person not say a single word to them for months. And he has no doubt he could keep that behavior up for much longer. Years, even. In truth, he does not think young Master Wei requires the assistance. He is quite quick, if not always focused in the direction that Lan Xichen, as Sikh leader and somewhat responsible for these lectures, would wish him to be. Instead, he seems to settle himself in one spot and extends himself outward in all directions, determined to see what others would have him not see, find anything hidden or obscured. At first, Lan Xichen thinks to invite young Master Wei and his brother, and then young Lady Wen and her brother apparently, because he had seen the look on his brother's face and known this was not like his previous efforts to send his brother to interact with his peers. With this one, his brother would not mind the company, but would never ask for it. He is unused to seeking the attention of others, and certainly not from one, he probably tells himself, he should not want to spend time with. Young Master Wei is very obliging in that he shows up anyway, possibly merely bored, but possibly more. On the hunt itself, young Master Wei manages to intuit more about the reports of the water demon than Lan Xichen had intended to share. Lan Xichen, used to his brother taking him at his word and acting on it, can admit to being slightly thrown off his guard. However, there are significantly more disturbing things to concern himself with suddenly. The Yin Iron is clearly not as contained as it once was, extending its influence so far beyond cloud recesses. If Elder Lan Yi is struggling with this, then there is very little he himself can do. It is no accident the Jishan Wen sect sent disciples this year. Young Lady Wen had no qualms about her open exploration of the back hills, red ropes spotted through the trees as she kept searching week after week. She is a harbinger, and the message is clear. Soon. It will happen soon. Soon enough, the lectures will be over as well. So, he feels few qualms when he accepts his most direct interference yet and directs young Master Wei to the cold ponds. If his brother objects, Lan Xichen can point out that he had no way of knowing, with absolute certainty, who else could possibly be there. And the cold ponds are, of course, good for healing. Hospitality is one of the foundational principles of cloud recesses. At first, he thinks his brother may have gone into some sort of resolution on the question of young Master Wei. Neither of them have returned from the back hills for several hours. It is not exactly what he would have expected, but his brother does not do things in half measures. Except his brother does not return for dinner, or high hour, or after high hour. And he truly starts to worry. His worry does not abate when they are found. Somewhere, outside of the heavy realization of what it means that Elder Lan Yi can no longer suppress the Yin Iron herself, he cannot help but think that of course his brother would find the most dangerous thing in the back hills. Of course, he would swear himself to its destruction. Of course, he would insist on going to do this by himself. Better than the alternative, admitting he would like young Master Wei to travel with him. Lan Xichen cannot both believe his brother is finally old enough for this responsibility and force him to conduct himself in a particular manner. So he will not make him ask anyone to come with him, but he will sit in the Hanshu and he will worry. The time might be upon them, finally, when there is little left to do in preparation. Just the knowledge that it will be as bad as it will be, no matter what one wishes. Zewu Jun! Young Master Wei does not wait to be acknowledged. He comes straight into the Hanshu looking for him, already dressed for the road. Ah, Zewu Jun, there you are! he says, as though he has found Lan Xichen out his own home. He has a particular way about him, even in youth, of making old rooms seem smaller as soon as he enters them. It is partly the volume, but also something else. Something he could grow into fully someday. "You have to tell me where Lenten is heading," he demands. Realizing he might have approached a little too boldly, he recollects himself awkwardly.
That is, you do not know.
He remembers at this point to bow hastily and actually work out a full sentence.
"Zhuojun, please tell me where Lenten has gone. I have to go with him. We made a promise."
Lan Xichen smiles. He would like young Master Wei even if his brother did not. Still, it is important to note that he would go with his brother for the right reasons. Otherwise, his brother will reject him instantly.
"Young Master Wei, do you doubt my brother? Do you not believe his skills in cultivation are up to the task?"
"Of course not! He's as good as I am!" Young Master Wei looks insulted, as if he himself has been called out.
That he judges his own skills highly enough to be the bar for comparison does not come as a surprise.
"Then please tell me where you have to accompany my brother."
Instinctually, he has introduced a particular Gusu Lansek pedagogical technique here. There are deliberate gaps in the argument he put forward. That his brother can go alone because his skills in cultivation are good enough. Many points could be made in young Master Wei's favor as a traveling companion, including the fact that he speaks many more dialects and probably would not spend an entire day lost before admitting he had to ask for directions, as an example. Disciples in Gusu Lan sect are taught that if the student can see the question not being asked and ask it themselves, they are ready for the answer. Young Master Wei is not a Gusu Lan sect disciple, however, and so he asks none of these questions. Instead, he sets his shoulders back and presents his sword.
"Zhuojun, just because he can go alone does not mean he should."
Lan Xichen lets out a small huff of laughter and relief, feeling much of the tension in his body bleed out of him. The road will be dangerous still, but at least there will also be this, that when the right people know you, you do not have to ask.
"There is a pier 5 li south of here. Wangji will start this search from there."
Young Master Wei leaves quickly and without looking back. Four. Lan Xichen finds his brother in the forbidden chamber of the library. It is not the first time. He does not know what his brother thinks he could find in here that he has not already searched. He does not think his brother knows either. The hour is late, and he has traveled from Jinlin Tai and a long day of negotiations. He is trying to build something from the ground up again, but how is one to make a new world shaped by the litters the old world left behind? War has not made him sharper or stronger, more able to see the future and the best path to set himself on. Mostly, he is tired.
"Wangji," he wants to say. "It is high hour. Time to rest."
They are too old for this now. In his absence, their uncle has tried many things to bar his brother from pursuing this. His brother does everything that is asked of him, however long it takes, and then returns to the one task he cannot complete. No matter how much work he is given, no matter if there is no time to sleep or eat, his brother's heart is always here in this search. Their uncle is not heartless himself. He is afraid. He sees his own brother and the mistakes he could not prevent. Lan Xichen understands his fear, truly, but he knows his brother better. He has spent many late hours of his life considering the man his father was, the choices he made, and how they affected his sect, his family, the woman he brought back to Cloud Recesses and made their mother. how Lan Xichen must avoid them at all costs.
I have seen you read this one before,
he says, because there is no much more he could say, but they have already said it.
The answer is not in there. The answer is not for you to find. You cannot help someone that does not wish to be helped.
His brother will not look at him, but he hears what he's really saying. His brother is not their father. He is making his own choices, and they do not involve forcing his aid on someone who would not wish it. This does not mean he does not continue striving in case, one day, he will be asked.
Wang Ji,
he says, and he is not perfect. He is not perfect, and so he will say it even though it will do nothing. It is not as if he does not know by now that no one can make his brother let go of something except his brother. He is not even sure his brother knows how to make himself do so.
You need not keep coming here, if there is nothing new for you to read.
His brother does not hesitate. He says,
I will accept punishment.
Lan Xichen closes his eyes a moment and wonders if this is his failure. That his brother does not understand punishment is meant to be a lesson, not a price paid in suffering to live.
Life is free. You do not have to pay for it,
he would say if he could. It is untrue, of course, but not in the literal sense that his brother wants it to be. Needs it to be? Perhaps the literal punishment takes the place of how much he cannot stand the other, infinite punishment of being helpless at the sight of someone you love in pain. And the person he cares for does not live on the same mountain as he does.
Enough,
he thinks.
Enough of this.
I would help you, he says, if you will let me.
His brother looks up. It is as if the exhaustion obscuring his true age clears for a moment as he is startled into some unexpected glimmer of hope.
Brother?
He asks. It has been a long time since his brother has looked at him like this, as though he has the answer. Since he has felt not like Zhe Wujun or the first Jade of Lan or even Gu Su Lan's leader. He is just Lan Xichen, and he has to try something.
If you will rest now,
he says, because he is not above being political for selfish reasons here.
I will return to Jin Lin Tai in the morning. I will look there for another option for him.
It has been a long year. Not as outwardly eventful as a year at war, but still, there has been enough to talk about that the Yiling patriarch does not come up in every conversation anymore. Perhaps this is enough to begin a detente. Something small that could not be connected to anything of military policy. Something where even Wei Wuxian would not want to make a scene. He talks first to Ayao, who he can trust most on this. He is surprised to find that Ayao has thoughts about it already.
Han Wenjun has not returned to court since that day, Ayao explains. It seems he does not agree with the treatment of this man we speak of.
His brother had not made a secret of his opinion, no. Neither his brother nor Wei Wuxian understood how to keep a conversation going until everyone felt like they got what they wanted. That was politics.
It must be difficult for a second brother to see his own brother so, Ayao continued. I have considered how this might be fixed.
Lan Xichen was often surprised by how thoughtful Ayao could be. This, while he had so much to contend with in Jin Lin Tai. It was one thing to live in the shadow of one's father's mistake, another to live in the house with him as he continued to enact them unashamed. He feels ashamed himself at how little progress he has made in repairing the rift between Ayao and Niamingzhe. Niamingzhe has been different since the war. Angrier, wary, less willing to speak as they once had,
as though he cannot trust Lan Xichen anymore.
Another time, Ayao assures him. Let us help your brother first.
His suggestion of a family reunion at Din Ling's 100-day celebration is the sort of thing people might be more open to. It is not as if Wei Wuxian is forgiven, just letting the door a little.
I apologize, but I cannot be seen to support this fully myself.
Ayao explains. Lan Xichen understands. He is willing to spend some of his own reputation for this, and his brother's. They will return together and submit a formal request.
Thank you, Ayao.
It is a great gift. Do not have to return to Cloud Recesses empty-handed.
Of course, Ayao says.
Anything for second brother.
His own brother has to leave Cloud Recesses and enter society again for the first time in months. He barely seems to notice the crowds, moving more quickly through them than propriety would normally allow. Once they have permission to invite Wei Wuxian to Jin Lin Tai, he disappears for several hours until he emerges with a letter. With the letter on the road, his brother is finally still again. His eyes steady in the direction the runner took, as if he can track the message all the way to the burial mounds and back.
Five. After the chaos in Jin Lin Tai, his brother had not made it far. Not far enough to safely stop in this rain while who knew how much of the cultivating world was being marshaled to chase him. As Lan Xichen approaches, his brother moves for his sword and then stops, recognizing him. His brother's robes are soaked red on the right side, where he has been kneeling over the unconscious form of Wei Wuxian. The infamous Yiling Patriarch, finally revealed publicly to shake the world to its foundations once again. He looks like a drowned rat, barely heavy enough to imprint the earth he lies on. His brother is watching him, waiting. Lan Xichen knows he is thinking that if the Gusu Lan sect leader will not risk the sect for them, there will be no blame on either side. His brother has made his choice, and he expects Lan Xichen to make his. He has been like this since the last battle at Nightly City, driven by this conviction that decisions must be made without any hesitation, committing irrevocably to one course or the choice will be made for him. Lan Xichen understands his reasoning on this, but he cannot see the world this way. There must be room for the option to regroup, to collect more information, and then decide. The rain is affecting his brother more than it should. He keeps blinking. His lips are tight, except when he has to take in a harsh breath. The weight of his soaked robes is pulling his shoulders down. His brother has truly made himself a part of the world. He deliberately rolls his shoulders back, holds his head high. He means to become Han Guangjun here, but even Han Guangjun can look tired to the people that know him. Lan Xichen can tell when he has fully exhausted himself, and this is not it. Still, he can't help but purse his own lips in concern. His way of saying,
"You have given him too much of your spiritual energy."
The great Han Guangjun is not affected by such worldly criticism, and so it must just be his brother, pushed back on his stubborn heels, who gives him that look. It is his spiritual energy, and he will give it to Wei Wuxian if he wants to. That does summarize things very concisely, yes. If Lan Xichen were to ask his brother what his plan is, he expects he would tilt his chin up and narrow his eyes. This is the plan. Protect Wei Wuxian, here or anywhere else he can find, to the death if he must. His brother would not appreciate this observation, but the truth is he grew up isolated from his peers reading too much classical poetry,
and so can veer towards the dramatic. Life is not always this. Rain and suffering and to the death. Sometimes your brother can find you and take you home. He lands in the dirt by Wu Wuxian's side and takes his wrist. He had guessed correctly. This body's positively singing with borrowed energy, lit from the inside. The founder of demonic cultivation will not suffer the ignoble second death of bleeding out on the mud of an anonymous road. Still, his brother's gift will not matter if he dies from exposure. Lan Xichen moves to help lift Wei Wuxian's body, and his brother is surprised enough to join him that he stumbles slightly when he stands. Lan Xichen could offer, but he does not expect his brother to allow him to carry Wei Wuxian for the journey. They do not have time to discuss anything. Here, they are exposed and harried, forced to make decisions quickly. As SEG leader, Cloud Recessus is an extension of himself, and he will keep them safe there until there is time to make this whole picture clear. As they enter the wards, he sends a signal that they are to be close behind him. Cloud Recessus has rebuilt itself from its mistakes with the Jishan Wen sect invasion. Of course, they still invite guests with true hospitality, but with the right directive, the sect leader can make it impossible for anyone to enter or leave the area. He is not needlessly exposing any member of his sect to threat. There is a matter of justice to determine, and that is the core of how he has always chosen to follow his sect's directive to be righteous. He does this within the bounds of his responsibilities as sect leader. When they arrive in the Jingshu, he has no doubts about what he has done by bringing them here. Still, as he crosses the threshold, he feels the familiar dissonance within him at entering this place grow a little louder. He hopes his brother has lived here long enough that he considers it his home first, but there will always be a part of Lan Xichen that spent the first 15 years of his life with this place as his mother's prison. And now, here he is, bringing a wanted man to stay under his protection. The flash of concern is unwarranted. The situations are very different. For one, he has every intention of getting to the root of these alleged crimes. He will listen fairly to all sides, and he will remain in favor of whichever just outcome that makes itself clear to him. With such an attitude, his personal bias will not blind him to the truth. He may feel overwhelmed now by questions of what he has seen and heard tonight, but he will not speculate too far until they have dealt with this immediate concern. It does not do to rush a conclusion. Surely Wei Wuxian can appreciate that, even if his brother cannot. Currently, Wei Wuxian is not available to appreciate anything, including the difficulty of getting his drenched, unconscious body out of enough layers of clothing that they can clean his injury and keep him from shivering. Even in dry robes, he seems to shrink into himself. Without Wei Wuxian moving this body around with all his daring confidence, it is much clearer Mu Shuiyu was no cultivator. Such an injury easily could have killed him. His brother clearly never lost sight of this fact. He has pushed wet hair out of Wei Wuxian's face and is looking at him with his mouth set in frustration, stymied by the fact there is only so far he can chase death away.
He will recover,
Lan Xichen says. They are in Cloud Recesses, and so he cannot lie. Perhaps there is some poetry in that, that he will not allow his brother to lose this man again. He expects it's the only way to get his brother to let himself stop for the evening.
There will be time for him to recover here.
His brother looks at him and he nods. The relief is clear on his face as his brother bows his head in acknowledgement. There is silence for some time, and Lan Xichen reflects on the fact that the two of them spent many years not talking about Wei Wuxian, no matter how large he loomed unspoken between them. His brother would do what was asked of him, always, even during those 16 years of searching. But whenever he was required to stay at Cloud Recesses for any long length of time, his eyes would drift to the road. Now, Wei Wuxian is here, and there is very little left that needs to be said. His brother's intentions have always been clear to Lan Xichen, and now he has seen fit to make them quite clear to anyone willing to listen. Lan Xichen only hopes Wei Wuxian can be counted as such. It would be about time. Past time.
Get changed yourself, he suggests, when it's clear his brother will not move. I will watch him.
When his brother hesitates, he takes no offense, but he does tilt his head forward in a clear question.
Does Han Wenjun doubt Se Wujun?
His brother's eyes narrow. He still hates being trapped like this. It has been a long time since Lan Xichen managed it. His brother stands, slower than he would usually, but he does not stumble. He is left to consider the man they have all been talking about. The Yiling patriarch is many things, Wei Wuxian infinitely more, but to Lan Xichen, he will always be the boy that demanded his brother not be left alone. He has not forgotten. Wei Wuxian speaks when it is easier to be silent, even for people he does not know. If the facts of what happened with the Jishan Wen sect prisoners have never been clear to him, he can appreciate what Wei Wuxian did based on what he thought the circumstances were. It had not been without great effort and personal sacrifice. This does not mean Wei Wuxian cannot be mistaken or have been misled somewhere. His brother treats this man as a compass for integrity, but good intentions are not enough. As far as the cultivated world knows, there are no living members of any Wen sect left. The question of Sutrai's origins is something that Lan Xichen and his brother decided when they first began raising him would wait until Sutrai was old enough to make decisions for himself. If Lan Xichen is truly committed to being an impartial sect leader in this, then he has to consider that Wei Wuxian is right, and he has to consider that Wei Wuxian is wrong. It is Lan Xichen's way to often hope for a third option, as so few things in life are either fully one thing or other. But sometimes, things are that simple. Either the head of Nian Mingzhe was in the secret chamber in the Fragrance Hall, or it was not. His brother will say that Wei Wuxian is right just because Wei Wuxian has said it. That is enough for him. Lan Xichen can admit that, in different circumstances, he would want Wei Wuxian to always be right, if only so his brother does not suffer the consequences. In this specific instance, Wei Wuxian being right would mean a significant shift in his understanding of the world. It is the sort of thing that is too big to consider the implications of all at once. But he will consider them. After all, he is in a position to argue that Wei Wuxian is wrong. He will not do so on instinct alone. There are several questions that need to be answered first. For one, the matter of Qin Su's very sudden and public suicide. For another, who would have had access to Nian Mingzhe's body to commit such a heinous crime? A third, does Wei Wuxian have any reasons to make false accusations in this matter? There are many questions he could ask related to Wei Wuxian, past and present, but one of the oldest, lingering questions comes to him clearly here. Why? After a year of relative stability, had the Yiling patriarch lost control so suddenly and so publicly? Who had known he was expected at the celebration long before the invitation was sent? These are not easy questions to answer, and he intends to take time with them. Only then can he be sure in his instinctual assumption that Wei Wuxian is wrong. Surely he can think to himself on a purely personal level. Surely it cannot be so. It would make no sense. Whatever Ayao has been accused of over the years, it has never been a lack of logical reasoning. He should not think of this as a choice he has to make between his brother's happiness and his own. This is why his uncle had tried so hard to instill a respect for the disciplines in them from a young age. There should only be one law for everyone, his uncle believes, and then the course is clear. Justice is justice. That had been enough for his brother, up to a point. Lan Xichen has always had questions. He had his mother to think of, and how justice had erased her. Even now, when he has spent his time and access to all sect records, he does not know why she killed his father's teacher. He will regret all his life that he has never asked her more. There was a tension in their visits from the beginning, how he was officially escorted into her arms and taken out of them. It was how things had always been. It had taken years before it felt strange. Their uncle would never explain when he asked, and then his brother was born and his mother would always shake her head slightly when he tried to start the conversation. It was not safe to speak of. The circumstances of his mother's imprisonment were shameful, and so people would say she was shameful because it was easier to blame her than question the world they lived in. He will never know, but he does not believe she killed a man in cold blood. It had none matter enough to anyone, clearly, to give her the chance to explain herself. He had wanted the sect under his leadership to be different. He had wanted those without power to always have a voice. He had approached Meng Yao in front of everyone from the beginning to say, clearly, that a shameful act should say nothing of those that survived it, but of those that committed it. Jing Guangshan had been a womanizer, an obloviate, and still there were those that remember his leadership above what Ayao has accomplished. Lan Xichen believes people should be judged by their actions, but jealousy has dogged his friend all these years. Lan Xichen had been there for the many indignities that Ayao manages to smile through. There is something bigger he is working on, he always reminds Lan Xichen, and for that he will do what is necessary. Two men stand accused before him, neither with a surfeit of supporters. In the limited scope of their investigation, there will only be one for each, himself and his brother. If it is the case that he is expected to turn Wei Wuxian over to justice, what then? What justice would there be, and where? Who can be trusted with it? He can hardly imagine himself being the one to try and strike Wei Wuxian down. Would his brother raise his sword to him? He does not think so. He thinks his brother would merely stand in front of him, unarmed, his meaning clear. Even if his brother would fight him, suddenly revealing himself a complete stranger to Lan Xichen, surely he could not draw his own sword. He has known his brother since he was wide-eyed and new, impossibly small. The world cannot be so cruel as to require such an act of him. Or it can be, but this, no matter what he must become for other people, he will not do. Lan Xichen believes true justice should be shared equally among all people, not just those he cares for. He tells himself he is not like his father, but his heart is still human. It cares. The love of his family seems destined to always be powerful, and when it is connected to those in power, it can snare the unwilling. It can hunt generations. This, more than anything, has followed him his whole life. How can he let himself love anyone and trust his judgment at the same time? And yet, he has always loved his brother, and his brother has resisted destruction again and again. Even at his brother's worst, during his first year in forced seclusion when he was not dead but could barely be described as living, his brother still chose to love and love and love. His brother, who came willingly with him to safety, still trusts him to make things right. And so, he will. This is what it means to be older. That is the leader he wants to be. Righteous, yes, but not blind to the possibility of mercy in the world, somehow, for the wines you love. -1. A sect leader, Lan Xichen has believed there are certain luxuries he must avoid. Undue use of his influence, impulsive decisions, personal bias, grief. Except, it is not grief he struggles with while he sits alone in the Hanshu and cannot think what to do but turn himself inside out. It is doubt. How had he missed so much for so long? He has never needed certainty the same way his brother did, but he feels utterly adrift in an endless void of questions. Every day, every moment, it seems, he finds more. It is no use trying to understand. It will not change anything. Regardless, it is all he thinks about. He cannot shake the feeling that if he had only had the right question at the right time, at the temple, certainly, but also 1,000 other times before, he could have prevented so much suffering.
Brother,
a voice at the door. It waits for him to answer before coming in. His brother, who announces himself at the same time every day, sits with him and attends to sect business. The world has changed again, and there is always more work to do. The responsibilities of daily life do not become less necessary just because one does not feel like dealing with them. Again and again, this has kept him going. Now, he knows that it is his brother that is doing the majority of overseeing the Gusu Lan sect. He has not struggled with his focus like this since Niemingzhe died. Last night, or perhaps it was this morning, but certainly since he saw his brother last, he found old letters he had kept from before the Sunshot campaign. Letters from 2 young sect leaders, isolated in worry over what the Jishan Wen sect would do, but still able to have some faith in one another. He did not feel he was fit to hold them, to read those words of encouragement. Who was left among those he loved that he had not betrayed? His brother, who would take on being the chief cultivator and also these duties which have never been his responsibility, does not ask him anything, not even what needs to be done. He has had years to learn, watching him, and Lan Xichen does not know if he is proud or afraid.
Do not be like me,
he thinks.
I'll learn my lessons.
After all, how much of his world had burned while he was not looking?
I have spoken to Uncle.
It's all that his brother says.
If...
he stops, about to say
Zhujun,
and then doesn't. He looks up from his writing and leaves off several layers of formality.
If my brother needs time, Uncle will help with what I do not know already.
He tilts his head up in the same way he has done his whole life when he is telling someone he will not let them down. Lan Xichen nods, but does not answer. His brother does not push the matter, but goes back to his business. Lan Xichen's business, actually, but it does not have to be. He could go into seclusion, as his family clearly thinks he should. What would there be for him there but more questions he can never have true answers for? And yet, what good is he here if he cannot do what needs to be done? It is not Lan Xichen's way to start a task with no plan for how to finish it. His brother wore mourning collars for 16 years with no concern for convention, might have kept wearing them his whole life. Han Xicheng cannot picture himself doing so. He has mourned in an official capacity several times, always within the expected range of time. There is no accepted mourning period for a lie, proof of how easily he had been deceived. He finds himself caught on how he should refer to his own memories. Meng Yao, or A Yao, or Jing Wong Yao, they all feel like different versions of the same confusion. He has asked himself again and again if he wants it all to have been a lie from the beginning, or that it was merely a turning point he missed, blinded by already established trust. There is no good answer. There is no third option. Even if he would mourn anything, the death of a man, or the idea of a man, or the idea of oneself, he is not sure it is in him anymore to begin. Where does grief live when it has been banished from one's body for so long? Where would he start? Nie Mingzhe, who he had urged to trust his own murderer? The 16 years his brother spent as an open wound after Lan Xicheng had not seen the danger they were leading Wei Wuxian to? The war, the burning of Clarisus's, which he had not prevented? His mother, the first soul he could not help. It has been years since he could remember her clearly. In his dreams, she comes sometimes as something impossibly soft, the idea of comfort more than a person. He would do better by her memory, but years of want and lack of anything to attribute to her have faded her nearly away. She smelled of Gusulan incense and drank Gusulan tea. Her robes were their colors. She did not wear the forehead ribbon because she had never sworn an oath to the wall of discipline. What had she even been allowed that was just hers? Her children. She had called him hers, he remembers. Just that. And then his brother had come along, and he had been her little eel. His brother loved the water, and he would let her throw him into it and swim back, asking the same again and again. This was before everything became about respectful, quiet contemplation. His brother had been a well-behaved child, but he had still been a child. His emotions were always so frantic, so ready to peak unexpectedly and overwhelm him. They had such little time with her, and he wanted to do everything, be everything at once. His mother had held his brother, and Lan Xicheng had thought that if there was only space for one, then it might as well be his brother, when there was so much he did not understand. Lan Xicheng was old enough that he was beginning to see things clearly, and he did not know what to do about it. His mother had not let him place himself to one side and think on it, but had pulled him close, even as she held his brother.
There is enough of me for both of you, she seemed to say,
and no matter how she tried to hide it, he knew what she was not saying was,
for now, for as long as I can.
She had loved them, he had always felt it, but he knew also that they were part of her prison. She did not want to leave them alone, and so she could not leave. Not yet.
Wongji, he starts.
He is not sure how to ask the question, as they do not speak of their mother.
Why did you keep going to the Jingxi all those years?
It is not the sort of thing his brother would normally answer easily, but his brother has obviously been concerned for him, and so will perhaps consider it. No matter how unrelated it seems, Lan Xicheng would like to know. Indeed, his brother looks to the side in a way that typically means he would rather not answer, but then he makes a decision, jaw setting.
No one would speak of her, he says.
Lan Xicheng remembers how adamantly their uncle would stop any conversation concerning her fate. Their mother had left. shamefully abandoning her family, and so they had no mother. She was best forgotten. Perhaps he thought it would hurt them less if they did so.
Lan Xichen does not remember his brother ever trying to talk to him about it specifically. He certainly had not spoken of her. It had been hard enough, trying to appear like something solid his brother could count on, while everything else must be confusing and frightening for him. The knowledge that a person could be there one day and gone forever the next. He wonders now what it would have meant if he had told his brother how confused and scared he had felt. If he had given his brother permission by example. Instead, his brother felt he had to make a solitary protest at their mother's door. Even now, when any member of the older generations of the Gusu Lan sect look at Han Wenjun, they must also think of Han Wenjun's mother and the years that she spent in the Jingshi, because Han Wenjun lives in the Jingshi. Always their mother's son first. Lan Xichen does not think his brother expects an apology, but he would give one. If only he had better words to use then.
I did not know how.
It is very late to admit it, but the truth was that he had been very young and very confused and very frightened. There were many things he felt he could not admit he did not know. His brother nods, and Lan Xichen knows that he understands what he means. He does not think they will ever speak of this very easily. It must be done slowly, if at all. Still, he has one more question.
Did you ever look for her?
16 years was a long time to search for one thing, and if his brother was already searching, then he could have looked for two. But his brother looks down and to the side again and shakes his head. Lan Xichen will not ask why. He can guess. If their mother had wanted to see them again, she knew where to find them. He had always made a point with any of his assistants that no letter be turned away from his attention, even if it were anonymous or unexpected. There had been nothing, and that was a choice he respected. She had paid a high price for her freedom, and he does not wish to hurt her by reminding her what she lost. He thinks he will leave it at that, but after a long silence, his brother has still not picked up his brush to continue working. There is a particular tilt to his head that means he is deciding if he will speak.
I did find something, if you would like to hear it.
When Lan Xichen nods, his brother stands and moves to the next room. His brother would like the privacy of not being observed with whatever he is about to share, and he is likely offering Lan Xichen privacy as well. Sometimes they know each other too well. Their silence is too loud. His brother begins to sing. This is not Gusu dialect, which his brother had always sung better than he spoke. It is not the common tongue of intersect relations and travel. Lan Xichen does not think he knows it, and then, like a misstep, he does. This is their mother's dialect. This is a song she used to sing to them. Lan Xichen and his brother had been discouraged from picking up her dialect, as they were meant to be perfecting their studies of the common tongue first. Their mother had never learned much of the common tongue in her life, but she was made to do so in their visits. Her own sons had to teach her. She tried to hide her humiliation by making a game of it, exaggerating her mistakes in pronunciation. Lan Xichen did not know what to do. He felt by speaking he only hurt her more. He held on to what little he knew of her dialect from when he was younger and used it whenever he could. His brother did not see what was happening and only wanted to help. He would sit by her, reciting a word in the common tongue until she could say it as expected. One of the only ways she could preserve her language for them was in songs like this one. Somewhere along the years, he has lost the meaning of the words and only remembers the circumstances when she would sing it. When they would visit her, there would always come a time when his brother became more and more anxious. It would be time to leave soon, and he did not want to go. As he grew older, he would not say so explicitly, but he would stand as close to their mother as possible, close enough to trip her if she was not careful. She would lift him in her arms and carry him as the shadows grew long, singing a song that made her happy, that reminded her of home. She would tell his brother to keep hold of it until she saw him next, and she would sing it for him again. And then there was no more time left. His mother would hand his brother to him, even when he was young enough to worry how careful he must carry a baby by himself. She did not want to give him to the disciples that came to take her children away. As he got older, he felt like he was part of it, like he was taking his brother away from his mother, and he saw how much it cost her every time. One day, it happened differently. The disciples did not come at the same time they normally did. There must be some kind of issue, his mother told him, but they would be expected, and so he should go on his own and take his brother home. Lan Xichun felt himself very aware that something important had changed, because his mother was speaking her dialect, very slowly and simply for him. None of the other Gusulan sect had bothered to learn. Mother, he had said, because he was old enough to know he would be sect leader soon, and that was old enough to help her with whatever was happening. He could not say all of that in her dialect, and so he looked at her and hoped she understood. She shook her head. My son, she said, with the weight of words she had long considered. Even here, he was restricting her, he thought, because there was so much she might want to say that he did not know her words for. My son, take care of yourself. Stay good and kind and know others as well as you know yourself. You will be a good leader for this place. It can be different. She held his face in her hands and looked at him, and he knew that she was saying goodbye. She swallowed thickly. My son, she said, like she did not want to stop saying it. She loved him, and she was sorry. Will you do something else for me? She took his brother's face in her hands, and his brother looked up at her, unsure of what they were saying. He never liked to admit when he did not understand something.
I will,
Lan Xichun said. He knew what she was saying and what she was asking. They were the sons of the sect leader, and he knew if they tried to go with her, the sect would hunt her down without rest. On her own, she might escape. She believed he was ready now. She could not wait any longer. She looked to him, and he nodded. He felt like he could not speak without showing too much. He did not want to upset her more, or his brother. He did not feel old enough to be sect leader soon in this moment, but he had to be. Love is not always holding. Sometimes, when the circumstances are impossible, love is letting go. He tried to imprint as much of her face as he could carry in a final moment. Then he turned and he took his brother away. He passed several disciples on the way home. He told no one what she had said to him or what he knew she intended. He tried to keep himself under control, but his brother must have sensed something because he did not want to be put down. He kept close enough by his side that Lan Xichun gave up and carried him around the room until he fell asleep. Lan Xichun did not sleep. He did not move. In the morning, when he was given the news that his mother had disappeared, he gave little reaction. It was generally considered a sign of good composure that he took the news so well, All these years later, that reception to his apparently letting his mother go without losing his focus is what he had remembered most strongly. The rest, he thought he had lost. But of course, it had always been with him. He has tried to live up to the lessons she had left for him, and he does think the Gusulan sect is different. It has not all been failure after failure. He cannot see this generation of disciples allowing a woman to be imprisoned indefinitely merely on the word of one man, no matter how powerful. He thinks this of all of them, but especially Sutre. Sutre is a talented and dedicated cultivator, but when it came time to choose a head disciple of his year, his peers had come to Lan Xichen and spoken of his concern, his caring heart. How he brought them together and they trusted him to do what was right. He has left Gusu now to better understand the past he had forgotten and honor the first family he lost, but he has not given up the Lan name. It is a part of him he is proud of. Still, Lan Xichen does not know how to move forward. He does not know what it means to be good. He does not know what it means to know others. He's not even sure what it means to want to be kind anymore, to others or to himself. He knows only that he does not want to give any of them up. It will not be easy. It may take a very long time. He trusts his brother to know something of what he is feeling right now. They are different in many ways, but they have learned the same lessons about what it meant to be the twin jades of Lan. People were always watching, curious to see how the world would make them crack. Perhaps the only way to let oneself shake at all is to do so when unobserved. Perhaps this is the point his brother is trying to make. That in seclusion, Nan Xichen could finally let himself stop thinking of so many questions and try to let any answers come to him. Or even just to let himself feel things he knows he should not as Zhe Wujun or Gusulan sect leader. Perhaps he needs to feel them before he can even imagine letting them go. He will go. He knows it now. He will take time. He will live simply. He will let his brother do what he has been teaching him all these years. And he will trust that his brother has learned the right lessons. His brother, who will not leave him alone. He expects there will come a time every month that he will hear his brother's footsteps, deliberately loud enough to be heard up the path, climbing the steps and waiting by the door. His brother will make his support known, even when Lan Xichen is not ready to see him. He does not know how long he will have to stay away, but he knows his brother will wait for him as long as he needs. The end. Thanks for listening.
Put your shirt in my tie.